turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1. And when you get there, we're going to read the first six verses. You can stand, and we'll read the six verses. Tonight, I want to talk a few minutes, Lord willing, just a few minutes, on change occurs at impact. Change occurs at impact. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." I'll stop right there. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this service. And I thank you, mighty God, Lord, for the Lord, the call that you've got, Lord, on this young people in this church. God, I know that you are trying to do something. Lord, you're trying to stir us. Lord, you're trying to move. And mighty God, I pray that you impact our hearts tonight with your Holy Spirit in such a way that we leave this place never to be the same. God, that we turn ourselves over to you 100%. Lord, that there be nothing, Lord, that's not yours, that we yield our lives as vessels that you can use. And I thank you for it. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As I said, I believe with all my heart, and what I'm going to talk about just for a few minutes, I'm going to direct it toward the young people, and there's some more. We get, in a couple of weeks, we've got a few more young people that's going to get to migrate into this group, and I'm so excited about that. But God has a plan for your lives. That goes for every one of us. God has a plan to not just have a casual experience in your life, but he wants to pour himself into you so mightily. He wants there to be this point of impact in your life that you're never the same. It's not God's desire that any of us have this casual, just random experience with God and not have anything deep. But God wants to do something deep in every one of our lives. God has got his hand upon you, and God's got his hand upon these young people. What is impact? There's two different definitions I've kind of put in my own words, and because it actually can mean a couple of different things. And I want to look at both of these tonight. Impact occurs at a point at which two objects traveling on different paths collide. Impact occurs at a point where two different objects that are traveling at different paths collide. They make contact. Another definition of impact, which is different, is impact is the influence that one object or person has upon another. There has been many things in my life that has impacted me. I was thinking a perfect example of impact is this morning early. One of the first things I got a call from at work, I got to the ambulance service early, and then I got heard over the radio one of the ambulances had been involved in an accident right out here on the road. Luckily, no one was hurt. They were responding to help someone, and they had their lights on, and they had in their mind they were traveling a certain direction, and they were going a certain way, and they thought they were going to do a certain thing, and then someone got in their path, and there was a collision. There was impact between two different vehicles, and some things changed. The vehicles changed, the way they looked changed, where they were going changed. Someone else had to end up going to the medical call, and then we and all kinds of people had to go out and see what was going on. But there was impact. Something changes. Something changes when there's an impact in our lives. Also, there's impact. There's the impact of influence. I know that there's been many people that's influenced my life. And that's one of the things that I want to get across is that we need that the Holy Spirit to be the one that impacts this church and these young people. I remember the first time that I went to hear Brother B.H. Clendenin preach. You all have been, every one of you has been impacted by him and his preaching in this place. And I remember my brother-in-law, Marie's brother, Roy, had invited me to go to Berea. I'd heard his name, and he had talked about him. And I really, be honest with you, I wasn't that interested. I had some other things I wanted to do, but he just kept pestering me. And so finally one night I said, okay, I'll go with you, with full intentions of just going one night, and he'll leave me alone. And I got there because I was tired and had worked. And we got there, and this elderly preacher gets up, you know, and you're not knowing what you're going to receive. And he starts preaching. I mean, from the first sentence he started preaching, I felt him on my toes a little bit. And I was, you know, wanting to scream out, oh me, oh my. And buddy, I'm telling you what, his preaching that night just impacted my life. And it just, oh, I wanted to hear more of that, because I knew what he had was truth. And I wanted to hear more. It impacted me. My mind runs back to when we went to Brother Jarvis, and I was at in Beaumont, and we was hearing their preaching, and I was so interested. I've told you this before, to hear B.H. Clendenin, and Carter Conlon was going to be there. I didn't know anything about Carter Conlon, and wasn't that interested hearing Carter Conlon. Really upset, thinking, grumbling a little bit. Why are we going to hear somebody else? And to make a long story short, there was something about when he started praying. All he had to do was just open his text and open in prayer, and something impacted my heart. I knew this man had heard from God. And when it got to that altar service, I didn't think I was going to make it up to the altar, because I was drowning in tears. There was an impact in my heart. The Holy Spirit was doing something in my life. Here we see in this scripture a person who thought he was on the right path. You know, as young people and people in this church, we can think we're going the right way. We've got a plan. We've got a purpose. We think we're going through our daily life, and we're including God in it. We're coming to church, and we're reading our Bible, and we're doing some things, but we're on a path, and we're going a certain direction. And Paul was on, or Saul at that time, he was on a path. He thought he was doing right. He thought he was doing something that pleased God. He was persecuting the church, and he had such a zeal to do what he thought was right, but he was absolutely 180 degrees going in the wrong direction, away from the things of God. But the good news is that we can see, even though that sometimes, and I can look at my life and see that many times that in my life I've seen myself going the wrong direction. I may have thought it was okay what I was doing. I may have thought it was excusable, or I'm doing better than someone else. But you know what? God, the awesome thing is that God has a plan for every one of our lives. God has a purpose for every one of your lives, and he is going to try to set up a roadblock, just like in Paul's life. He is on a road to Damascus. He's got a plan what he's going to do, but the Lord had a different plan for his life. He wanted to use him to do something mightily, and there was a point of contact. There was a point of impact in his life when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit, shone down upon him in the brightness of his glory. Was so bright that he fell off his horse. He fell at his feet. And we see the person that was the greatest persecutor of the church. He had just one thing on his mind. What do you want me to do? Who are you? And he tells him that I'm Jesus whom you persecute. What do you want me to do? My whole life was turned around. His whole life was turned around in a matter of a moment. Why? Because he was impacted by the power of Jesus Christ. He was impacted. And that's what this church... You know what? I was, when we were starting to work with the youth, I was trying to think, because I'm so much older than them, how in the world could I ever relate to these teenagers, and how are they ever going to relate to me? I just felt like there was going to be this real big disconnect, and thank God that's not happened. It seems like they're responding well. They may tell you something different, but they're doing great around me. And I was trying to think, oh, I've got to do all these things, and I've got to get socially active so that I can relate to them, and do what am I going to do to make sure that we're getting across to them? And I was thinking of all these things, and some of them are good ideals, but I was spending too much time thinking about those things, and I was in prayer in the mornings and saying, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Well, the Lord answered my prayer in a little different way. Megan had, she doesn't even know this, but Megan had told me several weeks ago about Robert Martin has, and I don't know if he does, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't, but a lot of days he has like a morning devotion. And she had watched him a couple of times and mentioned it to me, and I'd went to work early, and I looked on and seen that he had announced that on his Facebook that he's getting ready to go live with one of his devotions. And I had a few minutes, and I thought, well, Lord, I'll just go ahead and see what he's doing, see what he says, and just curious more than anything. And when I went in there, his topic for that day was exactly what I needed. His topic that day was, go deep before you go wide. Go deep. And what he was saying is that God has things he wants to do in your life. But before you try to do those things and have influence on those people around you, go deep. Go deep in the things of God. Get on your knees and get a hold of God and get such a relationship with God. And then he will use you and he will make you go wide. He will make your influence go wide. That's exactly what I needed at that very moment. God wants to impact us, and he wants to impact this church in such a way that he wants us not to just wait around for someone to bring it or wait for some influence of someone else or someone come preach, and because of their good preaching, God's going to do something in our life. But God is calling us as First Pentecostal Church to have such an experience with him, just like we're having in our prayer services, that seems like there seems to be a new excitement. And on Saturday nights, there's been 21 people two Saturday nights in a row. And in the mornings, more people are coming. God wants us to get to where that this place is someplace that we're coming in and digging in with our knees, and we're getting a hold of God, and we're saying, God, I want to go deep. I want to go deeper in the things of God. I want you to use me. But God, I want you to go deep. I want to go deep in my heart with you, and I know that you will take care of the things around me. You know, if we get deep in the things of God and let him impact us really quickly, Lord, with five things that his impact does, it makes a change. First, you listen, when there's an impact in your life, you can think of collisions, and those things are bad. But when we come up and let the Holy Spirit have full impact in our life, there's going to be change that's good, wonderful things in our life. What things does it change in our life? It changes our course. It changes the direction we're going. It changes the direction we're going. Saul was on his way. He had a plan of what he was going to do. But when the Holy Spirit impacted him and came and knocked him off that horse and put him on his face where he needed to be before him, his course changed. Not anymore was he the persecutor of the church, but he was the number one person that was trying to build the church. The Lord wants to change our course today. He wants to, whatever your plans are, you've got your plans, and every day you're moving toward those things, and you get up and you've got your little routine you're going through. But the Lord says, I want to change that course. I want you to put me first in your life. And then every day you'll know that every step you take, I'm the one directing. I'm the one that's leading you. I'll change your course. Whenever we come and our path is different than what God wants, we come into contact with him. He will change your course. He wants to do that in your life. Just like this morning. The second thing the Holy Ghost will impact and change in our life is our conduct. The things that we do and the friends that we have. Let me tell you something. When we got saved, Marie and I got saved, there was some friends that we were hanging out with on a regular basis on Friday night. And something just changed. Our conduct changed. There were some things that we weren't doing anymore. There were some habits that we didn't have in our life anymore. And it seems all of a sudden these friends didn't want anything to do with us. And it was for the better. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to impact your life. And I can tell you right now, you don't have to even worry about it. If you get in the altar and get a hold of something great and powerful from the Holy Spirit, and he impacts your life, he's going to change the way you live. He's going to change the way you live. And let me tell you something, nothing is going to impact this world around us different when they see young people who don't act like everyone else, when they see young people who don't talk like everybody else. They want to know something. What is different about that young person? That's what he wants to do in your life tonight. He wants to do that with First Pentecostal Church. He wants us to act different, and he wants us to have a different course. What's the third thing he wants to? He wants to change our, all these are C's. He wants to change our conversation. He'll change the way you talk. Some of the things that you used to say won't come out of your mouth. I'd gotten in a bad habit when I was a sinner of saying things I shouldn't say and using words I shouldn't say, thinking that it made me bad or thinking it made me like the rest of the world. And you know what? It's hard to quit those things. But let me tell you something. You get a hold of God and you let the Holy Spirit have full control of your life, and he will change your vocabulary. He'll change the things you're talking about. The one thing about whatever's inside of you, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. Everybody knows that I'm into technology. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Well, I want the best phones and I want the best computers, and I'm always looking to see. Marie sees me all the time. I'm not reading maybe Fox News to see what some of the most political things are. I'm trying to see what new technology is coming down. And so you got to, I'll be talking. You want to talk about it. I probably got plenty of technology. But you know what? Lately, you know what my conversation's been? A lot of times I want to talk about the youth. I want to talk about what God's doing in our church because that's what's in my heart. That's what's going to come out. Well, God wants to change in your heart. God wants to do something different in you so that when you get around those other people and those people at work and those people in the community, He wants to impact your life so much that there is a change in the way you talk. You don't say the things you used to. And people says, what's happened to you? Why don't you want to hear that joke anymore? Or why don't you want to talk about these things that we used to talk about? It's because every time I talk to you, you're talking about church and you're talking about what's going on in the youth group, or you're talking about what happened last night in revival. When we get a hold of the Holy Spirit and God impacts our life, it's going to change our conversation. The perfect example of that I was trying to think, and there's plenty, but one of the young people that I think that just so exemplifies that is Matt Robinson. Some of you all know Matt Robinson. You get around Matt, and he come did our campfire. I didn't get to hear that part, but he come and did our, I guess, like a devotional for the campfire thing for the youth. And Matt, I love Matt. And we get around, and we always go talking about B.H. Clendon and all that stuff. You get around Matt for about 20 seconds, and what's going to happen? That conversation is going to turn toward the things of God. Why? Because he's been impacted. He's been in an altar, and I've seen him many times come in our 7 o'clock prayer meeting, and when his schedule was allowing it, he would come in here, and in a very few minutes, you would see him start shaking, and his hands would go up, and you knew he was getting through, and the power of God was pouring itself on him, and he would challenge me to say, God, I want that intense desire. That young man is making me feel ashamed that I don't have a greater relationship with you. It'll change your conversation. It's going to change the way you talk. It's going to change everything about you. It not only changes our course, our conduct, our conversation, but it'll change your commitment. It'll change your commitment. Let me tell you something. The world right now wants to sell us a lie that says you can just add Jesus to the mix, just have your little casual relationship, come on Sunday morning for 1 hour, just say a few prayers. You go to a Christian school, you don't need to pray anymore. You're getting more than anybody else. And just have that casual relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all you need. You're going to make it in. But that's not what the truth is. The truth is that when we get a hold of something true from the Lord, that there's going to be a change in our commitment, that we can see that we're going to want to come to church early just because we want to feel the presence of God again. We're going to find ourselves the last thing we do before we go to bed seeking God so we can feel His presence the last thing before we go to bed. The first thing we think up in the morning, oh, I want to get back in that prayer closet because God is doing some things in my life. It'll change your commitment. Psalms 42:1 says, as the hart, or the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Lord, let our hearts be just like that. I'm a little thirsty right now. It's a good illustration. But I was just thinking about that deer, you know, that's been out there, and you can imagine maybe running for their life. In a few months, that's going to be happening. And all these deer hunters, including my dad, some of you all maybe, it's going to be out pursuing Bambi, and they're going to be running, and they're going to be hiding, and they're going to be scared, and they're afraid to go to the water because they know that they're in danger. And I can just see this deer in my mind that's been hiding and that's been running and looking out for themselves, knowing that they could be in danger, and just going down into the valley to that brook is exposing them, and they're thirsty, they're desirous of water, and they can maybe see it in a distance, and they're just panicking after it. They just, oh, if I could get down there and just drink of that water. And that's the way, just like when David, when he was in the cave, we see that, what was he thirsting after? The water out of the well in Jerusalem. He wanted to drink out of that water, that pure water. That was what he longed for. That's the way we need to be over the things of God. God, give me that longing to desire after you, to have that deeper relationship. Let me tell you something, the most content, I can tell you all, and some of you all can bear this out, I already know this is the case. The most contentment you will ever find is when you are in the perfect will of God and you have poured yourself out before God and you have opened your heart wide as it can get and say, here I am. I want everything you want, it's yours. Nothing else is important to me. And you feel God's presence pouring through you and you can feel God's Spirit all over you and nothing else matters at that moment. That's the most intense and awesome thing, is to be fully sold out in that place where God can work. Let me tell you something. If you let God have the impact He wants to have in your life, there's going to be a change in your commitment. We won't have to try to get you here or motivate you here, but you'll be the first ones here. We had some here tonight that was an hour and 15 minutes early. I told them to be here 15 minutes early, and that's here an hour and 15 minutes early. And that's exciting when you start seeing that. It's exciting when you see people start hanging out at church, and even nights that they're off. I've seen people that's come and prayed in this place that just come, I want to be where God's at. I want to be in His house, and I want to fellowship. That's exactly what God desires to do in your life. Don't wait. Don't wait and say, well, it's going to come down the road, and I know the next revival that somebody comes, and if Robert Martin comes back, that we're going to get in then. God wants to have that relationship with you now. There is people that you need to impact that you will not be able to impact if you don't get that deep relationship with God. You can't pass out. You can't show them something that's not within you. In Paul, we see this verse that what a change has happened in his life. And not only did God just conform him, I'm about to finish, but not only did God just totally impact him and change him, and thank God He did, because He was the one that took it to the Gentiles. And here we are tonight, and we're reading the words of the blessed word of God that God gave him. And while he was going through his trials and while he was in prison, thank God that God had a plan for his life, and God in the middle of his plans, and God impacted him and changed him and transformed him. And not only did He just transform him, something happens when God transforms you. If you get full of the Holy Ghost and you get where God wants you to be, you won't be able to hardly stand yourself. And you're going to be so full of stuff that it's going to start just pouring out on people around you, and you're going to start impacting other people. You see, Paul, the example of that is Paul. He impacted a whole lot of people. But there was one particular person, there was many, but one particular person that he took under his arm as a son, and it was Timothy. Timothy was a young man, a young convert under the ministry of Paul. And we see that he loved Paul as a father, and Scripture shows that Paul loved him as a son, and he brought him up under his wing, and he took him with him when he preached, and they prayed together, and he divided the word, and he gave him instruction. I'm sure he gave him some correction, and he did a lot of things, and he just helped grow him up. He became that spiritual father, and he poured himself over and over again. He poured himself into Timothy, and he just kept building confidence, and Timothy become just like Paul. He became what Paul was. He poured himself, his ministry, into Timothy. And we see that the theme verse that we read tonight for FPC Next is actually a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's giving him instruction. You see, Timothy was a young preacher, and Timothy was in the ministry, and Timothy was probably going through some doubts and maybe some fears of what he was going to do and what God was doing in his life. And we see that he give him instruction in this book because he was a youth. He said in 1 Timothy 4:12, says, "Let no man despise thy youth, look down on you because you're young." Don't let somebody look at you and say, "Well, you know what, that person, I don't expect much out of this youth group because they're young and we don't really expect much out of them, and they act just like everybody else." And he's saying, don't let that be the case. Don't act like everybody else. Don't let them look at you and say, well, they're a novice. They're young, and we're not going to let them do anything. They're not going to have any impact in this church. But he's saying, don't let that happen to you, but be thou an example of the believers, of the whole body. Let you be examples of the believer. How? In the word, what you say, in your conversation. That word actually is talking about your actions in the old English, and in the charity, the way you love and the way you give and give of yourself, in your spirit, in faith, in purity, the way you live in every part of your life. He's telling Timothy, don't let people look at you and you accept the fact that you're young and you come up with an excuse. You don't have to make a change in your life, but because I've poured myself into you, because I've showed you what's right in the word of God, I've instructed you, now you bring that to life and you let that be evident in your life. And now you be the example, and you now go out and impact the community around you. You impact this church body. You impact those people on your job. You impact those ones that you go to school with. You impact those family members that's not going to church. You be the impact. God poured himself into you. Now you go impact them. And that's what he wants to do in your life. God, if someone would come to the piano, God wants to pour himself into you so mightily that you overflow. Listen, let me tell you something. He's not satisfied with one of the people in this entire sanctuary tonight just to come and have that casual experience. He wants to have that intense. He has designed to have an intense relationship with you. And it all starts with one thing, impact. He wants to impact you. He wants you to get in that altar and say, God, my course is going one way. And Lord, I know that I don't feel like it's exactly what you want. Impact me. God, do something. Stop me where I'm at. Get me on the path I need to be. God, do in my life. He's got a purpose. He wants to pour himself out through you. He wants to stir you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants this community to say, what is going on down there at First Pentecostal Church? What has happened? They had just a medium-sized congregation. Things wouldn't grow like they would like it to happen. But all of a sudden, something's happened. What has happened? What kind of program have they got? Maybe we can start. What is the program they've started? Or what kind of a gimmick have they got in their Sunday school? But when they get looking, they'll say, it isn't a gimmick. It's these altars right here in the front of the church. You see, they have services and they call it on the Lord and they trust Him. And they believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's evident in all their services. And when the altars open up, you can't find a place hardly around the front of the church. Because everybody is digging in and saying, I'm not going to let go till I touch you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight? He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for the youth. And He's got a plan for the church. He's not satisfied with just status quo in your life. He wants everything. I put a comment as I close on the wall. If I can remember in there that something the Lord gave me the other night when I was praying and I was getting ready to send a text message out to him to kind of encourage him a little bit. And I'm trying to think what it is. It said something like, God will not take more ground in your heart, in your life, than you give Him. He's not going to take. He's not going to take every bit of you if you don't give Him to Him. He's not just going to come in and say, well, this is my territory. This is my life. He's not going to do it. He's waiting for us to say, God, it's yours. Every part of it is yours. God, I open my heart. I want you to take. He will not take more than you give Him. And then I said, don't limit God. Give Him everything. Don't limit God in your life. Don't say, God, this is how much I want to give you. Don't limit God and say, these little things that I'm doing and these little habits is off limits, God. Anything else, you don't touch my music, God. Don't touch my friends. Don't touch my habits. Don't touch what I'm doing. Don't touch these little secret things that nobody else knows about. No, God won't take things out of your life if you don't give Him. God's wanting you to yield everything you've got to Him. He's waiting to do something mighty in your heart and life, and it's only going to happen when you say, everything, everything, Lord, you're everything. I don't want anything but you. I know that what you're going to give me is going to be 10 times more of the satisfaction and joy I got out of doing those things. Everything, Lord, willing to give it all up. And we come and we pour ourselves out here. Don't limit God in your life. Give Him everything. Oh, that's when He's going to pour out His Spirit. Let's stand. Almighty God, I thank you, Lord. God, for this church and God, for their God desire, Lord, to see it grow and to see the young people get into the altars. And God, we all need you, Lord. We need you to impact First Pentecostal Church. We need revival, Lord, to start here in this core body. Lord, we need to get a desire. God, start in me, Lord, with such an intense desire, Lord, that I can't get away from it. And Lord, let it grow. Lord, let every single person in this place not be content, Lord. Not be content, God, when you've got so much more to pour out. Lord, don't let us push away your presence when you're saying, I'm here and I want to do a mighty work in your life. God, stir us and stir this church. God, let it be set on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let there be an impact in this church, God, by your power that, Lord, transforms us forever. Forever, that we will never be the same. Oh, God, let it start here tonight. Let it start here tonight. Tonight, these altars are open. These altars are open for those who want to say everything. Everything, God. Impact me. God, when I come to the altar, impact me, change me, transform me, make me that vessel that you can use. It's all yours, Lord. I want you to use me. I know that I'm limited to myself, but Lord, as I give myself totally to you, I know you're going to do something, and it's not only going to fill me up, but God, I'm going to see you reach out and touch those that we have, that's my friends and those that I, listen, let me say this right before you come. There is people that you all have contact with that I, Brother Jarvis, your Sunday school teacher, the board members, people that come to prayer meeting will never see or know. You have people that is in your circle of influence that God has designed you and you to be that person that gets a hold of God and impacts them. And they're going to say, what's different about you? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that's changed me. He's transforming my desires. Let me tell you something. That's what he wants to do. But it has to start here. It's not going to start with some program. It's not going to start with some activity that we're going to do and have fun. We're going to do those. But it's going to start with people getting a hold of God in this altar and say, change me, God. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. The altars are open. And if that's you tonight and you want impact in your life and you want God to move and do something mighty, right here, it's available. This altar is all it takes. It doesn't take anything but finding a place in this altar. Come tonight. Come. Find a place in this altar. Dig in and say, God, impact me. Change me. Come on, everybody. Come get a place in this altar. Come call out on God. Let him change you. Let him impact your heart and life. Oh, God, change us, Lord. Move, God. Move in this place. Lord, fill this place with your Holy Spirit. God, change us. Change our desires. Change the way we think. Change the way we talk. Change the way, Lord, our commitment that it would be deeper and, Lord, closer to you. God, change us. Impact us. Transform us. Oh, mighty God, you have all power. You have all power, Lord. You're here. You want to move. You want to make a change. You want to make, Lord, the difference in every single life. Do it, God. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your power.